grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I was tempted to title my sermon, Ready or Not, but it's a little gauche. But the key theme in both our gospel lesson and our epistle lesson is readiness for the coming of our Lord. Readiness for the last day. Readiness for the day of the Lord. Now, in our epistle text for today, St. Paul makes a difference between two different classes of people who will respond in two different ways to the coming of the last day, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He begins by saying, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." They were asking, sometimes very enthusiastically, "When is the Lord coming back? When is the Lord coming back?" These Thessalonian Christians were really into the second coming of Christ, as we all should be. They tended to go a little bit overboard, however. And so they're asking about the times and the seasons. When is this going to happen? When is it going to happen? He says, "I don't need to write to you about this because you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." When the Lord comes, He is going to come suddenly and unexpectedly. That's the whole thing about being a thief in the night, is that you act surreptitiously so no one expects you and no one is ready for you. So the day of the Lord, when it comes, it will come like a thief in the night, suddenly, unexpectedly, and inescapably. And he goes on and he says, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Who is they? They are the world of those who are in unbelief, who persisted in their impenitence, hardness of heart, and unbelief. And they make themselves unprepared for the coming of the day of judgment. And they're kidding themselves. They're saying, "All is well. Peace. There shall be peace in our time." When they say, "Peace and safety," even the very things that they trust in will crumble before their eyes. Sudden destruction cometh upon them, just like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So the coming of the Lord will impact the world of unbelievers in this way. It will sweep away all of their false security, and it will come unexpectedly, suddenly, and inescapably, and they will be found in a condition of helplessness on the day of judgment. But the Lord, through St. Paul, says this, "But ye brethren," that is the Christian believers, those who are in Christ, he says, "ye are not in darkness like they are, that that day should overtake you as a thief. When the day comes and the Lord returns, we Christian believers will not be caught unexpecting and unprepared for the day of the Lord. Why? Because we are not in darkness as they are. So when the Lord comes, we will anticipate His coming. And when He shows up, we will be glad because we are not in darkness. He says, ye, Christian believers, ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not in the night and of the darkness. So he draws this sharp distinction between the redeemed and the unredeemed. The distinction between those who cling to their impenitence and sin and fool themselves with whatever false security they latch onto that will be swept away on the day of judgment. And then there are the people whom he calls the children of light and of the day, who are not of the night nor of the darkness. These are those who have been brought to saving faith in Christ. This is a way of describing those who are baptized into the name of the Lord, and through the grace given to them in baptism, they continue in the Word, and they are those who are enlightened and informed and instructed. And so when that day comes, it will not be an unpleasant surprise, but it will be an anticipated day of rejoicing. All right. Then Paul moves on in our text. First, he describes what the day of the Lord will be like and how it will strike people. Then he talks about the readiness of the children of the light. And so he says, first of all, our readiness consists in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the chief readiness. Listen to what it says here. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what that is saying. All right. Sometimes your heart may be insecure as a Christian believer. Listen to what this is saying to you. It is saying that God has appointed you to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That means for you who are Christians, for you who are believers, even in your weakness, you know this, that before God even created the world, from all eternity, He chose you to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but it says that Jesus Christ died for us. And the word "for us" means He died on our behalf, in our place, as our substitute. Jesus' death on the cross was not simply a martyrdom, it was a redemptive, atoning sacrifice. Jesus died for you. Now you can look at yourself as I look at myself. And when I do, I don't find much that is wonderful about me when it comes to the things of the Spirit. But I find everything wonderful about the fact that the Son of God came into the world and He died for me. He paid the penalty for my sins. And though I do not deserve any consideration from God, I am given all kinds of consideration because Jesus is my Redeemer and He has died for me. And because He died for me, my sins are forgiven and I am right with God through faith in Christ. But that's not all. He says, not only has God appointed us to obtain salvation in Christ, not only has Christ died for us, but whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. That is, whether we fall asleep in Jesus before the second coming, like many of our loved ones have, or whether we are living and abiding on the earth at the time that He comes back, either way, we have eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is this gospel about God appointing us to salvation in Christ, Christ dying for us, and Christ promising that those who believe in Him have everlasting life. This is what turns us from dead men walking into those who are the children of the light and the children of the day. The gospel has brought us to life in Christ. Now the second thing is this. He talks about Christians putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. What is all this putting on stuff? We come across this in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul talks about putting on the armor of God. And here, it's like he repeats that whole idea. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Does that mean that we have to put on some kind of breastplate and put on some kind of helmet? No. What he's talking about in graphic language, he's talking about the fact that we Christians, we take this good news of God, all the promises of God, and we believe them, and we therefore apply them to our lives. You know, it's one thing for you to go, yeah, Jesus died for my sins. But it's quite another thing for you to go, no, listen, Jesus died for my sins. You see the difference? One is a mere acknowledgement of what you consider to be a fact. The other is that you understand that this fact makes all the difference between death and life, salvation and damnation. You see, this is for me. Jesus did what He did for me. God has appointed me. I am so blessed in the gospel. I put them on. I put these blessings of God, all these promises of grace and gifts and blessings, I put them on the way I put on a breastplate or a helmet. I am applying the promises of God's grace to my life. How do you do that? When you read and study the Word of God prayerfully. You see? So here is a picture of the Christian coming to church and receiving the word and the sacrament, and then going home and reading the scriptures and praying based upon what we hear from God in the Holy Scriptures. And in this reception of God's word, and in this use, this faithful use of the word and sacrament, we are constantly having the blessings that Jesus has purchased and won for us applied to our lives so that we grow stronger in them and more knowledgeable in them. And then the last thing. He talks about we who are of the day. And he says that we should watch and be sober. Or that we should be alert, and clear-headed. This is what the Word of God produces in Christians. The more that we hear and believe God's Word, the more alert we are, both to the tricks of the devil, the wiles of the devil, as Paul says in Ephesians 6, and alert to the activity of God in our lives and in the lives of those that we love. You see, to be alert means to be enlightened by the Word of God so that we can see what others do not see. We can see the work of the devil, his tricks, his shenanigans, but we can also see and perceive the work of God in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. And so we are made by the Word alert and clear-headed. You know, sometimes Christians are like drunkards. What do I mean by that? Sometimes Christians do not internalize the word as they should. And therefore they react to the things of life in a kind of a senseless way. And they adopt certain attitudes that are not from Scripture, and certain ways of interacting which are not helpful. And they keep doing those things over and over in their life. It's kind of like a drunkard, you know. Don't try, when you got a drunkard on your hands, the last thing that you want to do is talk sense to that guy or that girl. Because you are wasting your effort trying to talk sense into the head of a drunkard. The best thing you can do for a drunkard is to give them a cup of hot coffee and hope they go to sleep and sleep it off. Well, sometimes Christians, we act like drunkards in the sense that instead of using God's word, we just get caught up in all this kind of silly thinking. And the silly thinking causes us no small amount of troubles in our lives. Whereas the word of God keeps us alert and focused and rooted and grounded in the truth. And that's a good place to be. So, when talking about our readiness, Paul mentions three things. Chiefly, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which puts us in a state of readiness. Then secondly, the way we as Christians, using God's word, apply the blessings that God has promised to our lives personally in faith. And then thirdly, we Christians bearing the fruit of clear-headed, alert thinking that is informed by and grounded by the Word of God. And so our readiness is not because we're better, smarter, or anything than anybody else. but it's because God's grace is accomplishing its work in our hearts through the Word and sacraments. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.